troubled too. Okay? I'd be very troubled. A stranger shows up at your door claiming to be an angel sent from the Lord and then tells you the Lord is with you. What does that mean? You know, that phrase, and we use it, we started our liturgy, the Lord be with you, the Lord is with you. That liturgical phrase can become so monotonous, we become so familiar with it, it loses its potency. For Mary of Nazareth, this greeting meant that everything that she had planned in her life was about to change. She is informed by an angel sent from the Lord that she would conceive in her womb, even though she was a virgin, and she would bear a son who would be called Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Now, is it any wonder why in the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph didn't receive the word of Mary very well? In fact, would you? Right. An angel came to you and you're pregnant by God. Well, he wanted to get rid of Mary in one sense. He loved her enough that didn't want to disgrace her, we're told. And according to the Torah, the law of Moses, she could be stoned to death because she was, you know, in Jewish understanding, you have to realize that Mary and Joseph were, in a sense, already married. The betrothal period really was part of the marriage rite and ceremony. So Mary and Joseph were technically married. The only thing that they did not do is consummate their marriage on the marriage bed. And that would be saved for the big festivity that would be coming very soon, but it didn't seem to come for Joseph. So what he does is he decides to quietly divorce Mary. He didn't want to hurt her. But we're informed by Matthew that the same angel that came to Mary comes to Joseph and says, in fact, what Mary said is true. She believed the word. Mary, despite everything that would happen in her life, replied after this incredulous message, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Now think of these words for a moment, and these words have been pondered throughout the centuries. May it be done to me. Unlike many of her biblical ancestors we find in the Old Testament, Mary did not try to wiggle out of this, let's say, invitation by the Lord. I mean, think of Moses when he was told to go back to Egypt. He said, I can't go back there. I won't go back there. I don't even know how to talk anymore. Or think of Jonah, who was commanded by the Lord to go to Nineveh, and what he does is he catches a fast ship going the opposite way. Or think of 90-year-old Sarah, married to 100-year-old Abraham. And when she heard the angel's announcement that Abraham would have a son whose mother was Sarah, what did she do? She laughed. She says, you've got to be joking. Even the name Isaac was a reminder of her disbelief because it means he who laughs. Yitzhak. When Mary heard the words, she said yes to God. And in that moment, our world was changed. The creator of all things, as John's gospel would say, that through whom everything came to be, now steps into this world as a fragile baby, and tonight, in the beautiful liturgies of the church, we celebrate this mystery that is beyond comprehension, that the one who fills all things and who created all things becomes as a helpless human being in the womb and then in the arms of his mother. Mary surrenders her life to God, and that cannot be underestimated. There's no complaining, there's no second thoughts, there's no misgivings, and if she ever had any, they were never recorded for us in Holy Scripture. We are simply told in Luke's gospel that upon hearing the words of the message that the angel spoke to her, she accepted them. She believed the word. And in doing such, she would bring into her heart not only the Son of God, but also wonderful joys and unspeakable sorrows that only a mother can experience. As the mother of Jesus, she gave him life. She saw him grow into an adult man. She saw him preach and teach the miracles that he performed. It is recorded in John's gospel that she was there at the very first of his miracles that took place at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And we're told in John's gospel that she was there at the foot of the cross, watching her only son die. But the last recorded message and the last recorded mention of Mary in sacred scripture, interestingly, is she's in the upper room in Jerusalem on Pentecost, waiting for the gift that her son promised, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Is it any wonder that from ancient times, Mary becomes the image of the premier disciple? Mary becomes the very understanding of what it means to be the church, what it means to be Trinity. The icon behind me, as it's called, the Theotokos with child. If you notice in this icon, Mary is holding Jesus in such a way that she is his throne. And he is the king. And Mary's hand is gesturing to all of us to look to him. That's the church. The church is the place where Christ is enthroned and that we call men and women and children to him. That's why we operate a Lutheran school. That's why we built this church, all to give glory to God and for the countless generations that will come after us. This is to be a place of discipleship. On this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and here it is, a Sunday of Christmas Eve, we're reminded of how it all began some 2,000 years ago. In a sleepy little town called Nazareth in the backwaters of the mighty Roman Empire, to a virgin whose name in Hebrew was Miriam. We know her as Mary. Engaged to a carpenter by trade, Joseph. Mary, full of grace, the handmaiden of the Lord, the mother of Emmanuel, God with us, is the meaning behind the greeting, "The Lord be with you." And I leave you with four short lessons as we go into the mystery this evening of the celebration of the incarnation of God. The first lesson that Mary teaches us is that God often comes unexpectedly. He just happens, and things just happen, and all of a sudden, there he is in our midst. And it's a surprise. The second lesson. When the Lord is with you, you may have to change your plans. You just may. What you thought was going to be may not quite be. The third lesson. There are always consequences when you open your heart and receive the Word of God into your life. The life of Mary demonstrates this. Always consequences. But the final lesson that she teaches us is that when the Lord is with you, you can face, no matter what happens, you can face tomorrow and the future with hope and with faith, because her Son is with you. And so, my question, my brothers and sisters, as we are on the very verge of celebrating once again the mystery of God coming to us this holy night, are you willing to pray with the mother of Jesus, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.